Hello there, welcome to March, the month where we celebrate the brilliance, strength, and impact of women everywhere. I am your host, Yemi C, and this is Tech Empowered, the podcast where we don't just talk about tech, we talk about how it transforms lives and empowers real people. This podcast is brought to you by Tech for Dev, a non-profit organization dedicated to creating opportunities for economic prosperity through digital skills empowerment and advocacy. So usually on Tech Empowered, we bring you real stories from real people whose lives have been transformed by technology. But today, we're doing something different, something special. In honor of International Women's Month, we're having a conversation about this year's theme, which is Accelerate Action. So what does Accelerate Action actually mean in today's digital world? How do we close the gaps and create a future where women aren't just included, but empowered? What it truly means for digital inclusion, what will it take to drive real change for women in tech and beyond? To dig deep into these big questions, we have two powerhouse guests, Olabisi Etug and Asinat Esu, who will be sharing their insights on the challenges, opportunities, and bold moves we need to bridge the digital divide for women. So if you're listening on your commute, taking a break, or just winding down, stay with us because this conversation is one we all need to be a part of. So grab a cup of tea or your favorite drink and let's get into it. So, hello Olabisi, hello Asinat.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so we're going to take turns. You introduce yourselves and what you do, and then we'll start. So let's start with Olabisi.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Olabisi Etuk, as rightly introduced. I am the programs lead at Tech for Dev.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. My name is Asinat Esu, and I'm a programs associate at Tech for Dev.
Awesome. Lovely meeting you, Olabisi and Asinat. So let's dive into this conversation, right? So starting with Olabisi, what's your take on gender advocacy? Do you think it's necessary, or do you feel like we've made enough progress?
Gender advocacy is very, very necessary. And yes, we've made progress, but we are not there yet, which is why there's the need for gender advocacy. Women, they are more visible in different fields, including tech. But the reality is that many still face barriers, whether it is limited access to opportunities, biases in the workplace, or societal expectations. Advocacy is what would help keep the conversation going, you know, pushing for real change so that many women that don't have a seat at the table, they can be heard, they can also be equally valued.
Okay, so thank you so much for that, Olabisi. I agree. And a follow-up to that, have you ever experienced or witnessed a woman facing discrimination in tech or the digital space?
That's a very good one. And if I actually have to think about it, I think it's everywhere, essentially. And I remember, I'll give a very good example of when, after I had my second child, I was looking to get back into the workforce. I remember getting an interview, an invite to an organization, one of this very big fintech. I already went through the first stage, the second stage, the third stage. So it was, the final stage was going to be with the founder and the co-founder. So this was not just about my competency, because I already went through the three stages. The last stage was just to have a conversation with the founder and the co-founder, so to say, of the organization. And when we had a conversation, it was just around, oh, okay, so how then do I intend to manage the work-life balance? And maybe let me add that they actually have a crutch, but there was still conversation around, okay, how then are you able to, would you be able to manage your family? At the end of the day, I did not get a call back. Mm-hmm. And the inside person that, because I just kept calling the HR that, oh, okay, what's the feedback? I mean, I had to go through three stages of interview. What's the feedback? So she was like, so if she has to be truthful as a woman, that the only reason why they did not call me back was because I was married.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. They went ahead, and I thought we had already gone past that level of, a woman being marginalized because of her marital status. Exactly. And they have a crutch. But because the crutch has not started functioning yet, and I felt, oh, that would even be a good time for them to maybe start up the crutch, and it would be good PR for them. Then they were looking to break into the fintech and everything. I mean, I felt pain, but I mean, that's under water under the bridge. Because it's on the island, so it would have even been stressful for me. So, but where I am now, it's, I mean, a good place, actually.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Olabisi. I mean, it's wild, right? Yeah, that you're not getting the role that you are clearly qualified for simply because you're a woman. Like, it's you would think that we've gone past that, but when you hear stories like this, it just reminds you that that there might be progress, but we're still very, very far behind. Okay, so over to you, Asana. This year's theme is Accelerate Action. So what does that mean to you?
So to me, Accelerate Action means moving beyond the conversations and actually making real tangible impact. Because you see, from time to time, you see communities having this event, having that event. Everybody's just talking. But nobody's really doing anything. So I was working before this podcast started, and I had like a lot of tabs open on my laptop. That is exactly what we're doing right now. A lot of conversations, a lot of talking, and we just have to close some and actually roll up our sleeves and get things done. We could start with policy changes. I can actually relate with what Olabisi said about being married, and she could not get the job, and it was outrightly stated to her by an inside person. I know that when I was actively searching for a job, I was very concerned about putting my marital status too. I was very concerned about that. So we should start from there. Policy changes. Why do women have to indicate their marital status? For men, it's always just Mr., right? But for women, we have to go from Miss to Mrs. and the rest. Is that like a criteria for getting hired? I think we should scrap that. Let's start there. Let's put our boots on the ground, roll up our sleeves, and actually do something. Let's move on from just conversations.
Awesome. I mean, that puts it. I like the illustration you gave about the many tabs open. Like, the thing you said, that my brain was like, ding, ding, ding. I always have a lot, and not just tabs on one window. I have like multiple windows open with multiple. So it's like back to back, right? So, but that illustration actually just brings it home. So what are some of the most common gender biases or inequalities you see, especially in today's world?
Well, there's this classic one. Women are not technical enough. I think everybody can relate to that. We get that a lot. If you should go to schools and you ask students what you want to be in the future, you hear things like lawyer, because of what the society has actually pushed down on them. You hear things like women are not technical enough, but we have like really good mentors, like professional women in the tech space, and they are very technical and they are thriving, they are doing really well. So that is one of the inequalities and bias, and I feel like it's being pushed down on the younger generation, and we have to change our narrative.
Thank you so much for that, Asenath. Olabisi, do you believe women are truly being included in the digital economy, or do you think there are still major gaps?
Okay, I mean, we cannot help but give credit to the little one that has been done. And when I say little, I don't mean it in a demeaning way. Women are already making, I mean, great significant strides in the digital economy. It can be more, which is why I said we need to give credit that, oh, for the ones that has been done, amazing, and we can still do more, because there are still big, huge gaps that is left. Many women don't have same level of access to digital skills, training, even funding for startups. If women don't get the right support, whether through education, mentorship, most importantly, policies that encourage bridging these gaps, it's easy to be left behind. So we really need to do more around policies, mentorship, and training to be able to include, to cover up those major gaps.
Thank you so much, Olabisi. So a follow-up to that. So digital skills are becoming more important than ever, right? Like you mentioned, but what do you think is the biggest barrier preventing more women from gaining these skills?
So the biggest would be access. Access, actually. Because in many places, women don't even have this access. They don't have the same access to internet, devices, or even the... So outside of even internet and device, because I mean, everyone can easily maybe just use their phone to do this, do that, but the time to be able to learn these digital skills. Women are, you know the way they say that women are multifaceted or something. We wear so many hats.
So many hats
as a mother, as an employee, as a wife. There's the role of that to be the wife. I mean, every day when I get home, there's this, okay, what am I going to cook now? What are we going to eat? It's a whole lot. I was on a work trip for a week and it was bliss. Not having to think about so many things. So that time to be able to even settle down and say that, yeah, women are doing it, they are in in their leisure or in the middle of the night, they sit in front of the system just trying to obscure themselves. But that time is not a bit of caregiving, and also there's the issue of confidence. Women feel that tech is too complicated, or it's not for them, or how are they able to wrap their hand around every other thing that they have to do, then they have to learn this one, learn that one. So that's advocacy, we needing to change that mentality and also creating learning environments where women are supported, women are encouraged to explore digital skills, and making sure that the timing is very flexible for them to be able to achieve all of this.
Thank you so much. I mean, that's why at Tech for Dev, we have like programs that are targeted at women, right? Because, and we take into consideration all of these things, because in the end, the industry is wide and we need more women, right? And way to get more women in is to actually make these skills accessible to them, right? Which is why we have programs like the Women Techstars Initiative, and then we have like different programs under that, right, that would tackle issue from advocacy. We are going into the grassroots advocacy to talk to young girls in school, let them know that, you know, that whole myth around tech being for men or tech being too difficult is a myth, really, and they can still build careers. I mean, there are no code tech parts, right? There's product design, product management, and all of that, right? And then even to the training, right, we have the bootcamp that is a lot more flexible, where you have the weekend classes, you have the daily classes as well. So just, you know, working on that thing of access, like you mentioned, Olabisi, you know, ensuring that they have access to these skills, right? And we need to do more, pretty basically. I was at an event a few days ago, it was a cybersecurity summit, and I could practically count the number of women that were in the room, right? We had more of men, right? And these are the things that we're trying to change, and these are the things. So as much as we say, oh, we're making progress, but in reality, there's still a long way to go, which is why this year's theme is accelerated action. What are the things that we need to do to actually move the needle, like Asenath said. Okay, so over to you, Asenath. We hear a lot about gender equality in tech, but what practical steps can organizations, policymakers, and individuals take to drive real change?
So first of all, companies really need to stop with saying we support women on their LinkedIn profiles.
Like, how do you know they support women if they don't put it?
They need to stop that. They don't just
talk and talk and talk and all the paparazzi and all that. They need to stop that first of all. But more practical, they should actually look towards hiring more women, paying women more fairly. Yeah, and the more practical steps would be implementing bias-free hiring practices. Like I mentioned earlier, men don't have to change their title from Mr. to anything, but women have to go from Miss to Mrs. I don't think that should actually be in the early stages of the hiring process. We can get to that when you've seen that, yes, I'm good at the job,
can get to that later, you can know that I'm married later. I think that is one thing that they could actually change, offering a more flexible work environment and creating mentorship and sponsorship for women. Like Olabisi said, women struggle with confidence. So I think getting women mentorship, bringing women who have successfully thrived in their career, who are thriving in their career, to actually give these women confidence would actually go a long way in helping women grow into leadership positions in the industry.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Asenath. And what you said particularly about confidence, there's this thing that, you know, you hear, especially accomplished women, right? If you attend events a lot or you sit on panels, you hear women talk about how, you know, you see a job role and you look at the role, you look at the job description, and you look at it, I don't have this skill, I don't think I'll do well in this role. But a man who maybe probably has what, maybe 60% of the skills that you have, right, we'll go ahead and apply for that role, and then when we get there, we'll figure it out. You get, so that thing that just keeps you back from actually putting yourself out there and saying, oh, this role, let me apply. Because if you're applying for a job, you don't need to know everything there or the job description. You learn on the job, right? So that confidence is really key, and thank you so much for highlighting that. Okay, so follow up to you, Asenath. So there's often talk about getting more women into tech, but retention is another challenge. So many women leave the industry due to like the workplace culture, lack of support, similar to what Olabisi said earlier, you know, and other barriers. So what do you think needs to change to ensure women not only enter, but thrive?
Yeah, so that's a great question, actually. So getting inside the industry is one thing, and actually staying and thriving and getting better is another thing. Because I know many women face microaggressions when it comes to the job. They lack career growth also. Men are audacious. Women are just like withdrawn, and it is especially because there is no inclusive culture in some of these companies that women are getting into. So one thing companies need to do is to foster a more inclusive environment, foster a more inclusive culture for women to be able to thrive. And this could be mentorship programs, like I mentioned earlier, and having leadership trainings, and zero tolerance to toxic work environments. Actually standing and supporting women, not all those LinkedIn posts we support women put into action. and because it's Women History Month, you are going to be seeing it everywhere right now. We support women, and everybody is rolling out events and all of that. That's not what we want. Actually, foster a more inclusive work environment for the women in your company. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think we should actually normalize work-life balance. Mm. Women, we
also
do a lot.
Work-life balance does not exist.
Yeah, that's there's a school of thought like that, like it doesn't exist. You just have to, you know, do the best you can.
Exactly. And you
yeah, thank you so much for that answer. That okay, so over to you, Olabisi. So for women who feel excluded from tech or don't know, or in the workplace generally, not just tech, right? And then they don't know where to start, what advice would you give them?
So I'll say start somewhere, start small. And you know, there's this adage of a drop of water makes a mighty ocean. Mm-hmm. You just need to start somewhere. Do it, don't be afraid to learn. Even if you're afraid, do it anyways. What's the worst that can happen? When they say that, you know, there's also something that they say on social media that everything is hard, actually. So is you now choosing what's your hard actually? Exactly. Exactly the hard. So yes. Just start it anyway, because either ways. And a very classic example would be, I remember a friend was saying, she doesn't have the time and she needs to start her master's. 3 years has gone by now. Mm. She has still not started. Mm. So imagine if she has started, and she would have exactly, you know what I'm saying? And you know there's this one in social media that, oh, I have there's this friend of mine that friend of mine is actually me. It's me.
this is me. I am the culprit. I am the very friend. Exactly. So, I mean, imagine those years are just taking that step that, oh, okay, yeah. And this is me talking to myself too, as I'm actually giving this advice. I mean, start small. What's the worst that can happen? And there's this thing with, once you start it, you just find yourself now following it through. Following it through. You don't have to, nobody is an expert now. You just start it and you now find yourself becoming the perfect version at it at the end of the day. And there's so many resources online. Gone are those days where you have to go to the cyber cafe, you have to go to the library. Everything you essentially need is online. From coding bootcamp to digital marketing to you even learning how to cook. Everything essentially is online. DIY. Google is your friend. I've organized a friend's birthday party that everything that we did from decoration, it was DIY. It was from social media. We did a box, you know, when they do that box that has, they use it to write the number, the letter, the child, the year of the child. DIY. It was online. So basically everything you're looking for is online. And importantly, find a community. It's going to be hard. That accountability partner, those that you, they can reach out to you that, oh, how is it going? If you don't have that community, maybe someone close to you, just ensuring that you can tell them that, oh, this is what I intend to embark on. A little support, a little follow-up from time to time would actually be great. If it's your parents or your spouse or even your children that, oh, mama wants to take this class. And the things with children, they don't forget. They'll come and tell you, oh, have you done this today? The way you're asking them to, have you done your assignment? They would ask you also, have you taken your class today? Yeah. That's community. So that's that community. Find being around people who are on the same journey makes it easier actually and motivating. And most importantly, believe that you belong in wherever you choose, wherever community that you choose, wherever pathway that you choose. Believe it that you belong and you can do it, because yes, you can do it actually.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Olabisi. So I have a follow-up question to that, right? So if you had a superpower to implement one major policy or initiative to support women, what would it be and why?
Okay, a superpower. And this would be to the government, and maybe not just the government alone, the public, private sector also. It would be to, not for women alone, because I'll be starting from the grassroots, which is the young ones. So yes, because it's Women's Month, the girls, but just for inclusion, the young boys also. That is mandatory digital skills education from schools, like starting from the very young age. Doing one of our advocacy drive that we had in a marginalized community. I won't want to mention the name of the community. Secondary SS3 students. We had to take them through basic digital literacy education, and it was so surprising for an SS3 student that is about to write WAEC. They've never had to use computers before. Wow. That day we went there, we took devices with us. That was their very first time.
I mean, and that's alarming, because a lot of these tests now and these exams are CBT, computer-based.
Yes.
Like JAMB. CBT. Right? They're computer-based, so...
Exactly. So, I mean, how then would they manage? These are the people that they would now go to maybe a coaching center. They pay so much through their nose just to be able to get that crash course. And they are getting that knowledge just to pass the examination, not for long term. No, so exactly. So just starting early from primary school. Primary school is not too early. Primary school is not. It's not too early for them to start taking this digital skills education, because if we expose these young girls to technology early, they won't grow up feeling like, oh, it's something that is meant for men alone, because it's all about changing narrative from the ground up to making tech feel like, oh, normal and accessible pathways for women. So starting early, then we are able to disabuse their mind of, oh, tech being for men alone.
Thank you so much, Olabisi. So I have one last question for both of you, right? So in the spirit of accelerating, now we've talked, oh, let's accelerate action, You know, so what's one action, big, it can be big or small, that everyone listening today can take to help accelerate action for digital inclusion?
My advice would be pay it forward. If you're in tech, if you're in banking, whatever sector that you are in, support a woman to get in. If you're learning, share what you know with another woman. You're in that industry, help someone there. If you can help someone to get in, at least make the workplace favorable for the other woman. Make it favorable for the next person. Don't be the reason why someone is not able to be the best version of themselves. Don't be the reason why someone is feeling less of themselves. You're a woman in that leadership position. Ensure more women get in. Because it's sweeter at the top when you're money. And you know they always say that it's lonely at the top. Because when you are the only woman and you're surrounded by so many men, believe me, you know. But when you're in love, when you're more women, there's that pride, there's that joy. So if you're there, support a woman to get in. You're learning, share what you know. And for companies and policymakers, it's about making sure opportunities are accessible to women. Make sure that, I know there's, for government, there's this WE policy about creating more opportunities for women, whether it's through scholarship, flexible work policies, or funding women-led startup. Very important, please. Supporting women-led startup. Everyone has a role to play, essentially, no matter how small. Please, pay it forward. It's very, very important as a woman. Pay it forward in whatever capacity that you can.
Awesome. Thank you, Asena.
Yeah, so I actually agree with Olabisi. You know that saying of women are women's own enemies. Yeah. So I just want to say, if you get a seat at the table, make sure you're bringing more women to be on that table. Grab a chair for another woman to be on that table. If you know a woman that is doubting herself, be there to advise her and let her know that she belongs there. She deserves to be there. I think we've said it over and over again throughout this conversation that women struggle with confidence. So if you got into a stage where you feel very confident and you're audacious, be that person that tells the next woman that she also deserves to be there. Grab a chair for her. Let her sit too at the table. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much, Asanath. I mean, it's been an interesting conversation so far. I mean, this conversation reminds us that accelerate action isn't just a theme, right? It's a call to move beyond words and into meaningful change. Accelerating action means recognizing that gender inequality affects different women in different ways. It could be due to race, ethnicity, disability, socioeconomic status, or, you know, lack of access to digital skills. So from breaking barriers to ensuring equal opportunities in digital space, it's clear that inclusion doesn't happen by chance. It happens through deliberate action and ensuring that all women, particularly those most marginalized, benefit from this inclusion. So whether you're an individual, an organization, or a policymaker, an employer, the question remains, what action will you take today? Because this is a call for urgency, inclusion, and transformative change. And it is important to know that real change starts with us, individually. So what are you doing to make changes? And how can we make the world more inclusive and comfortable for women? So together, let's accelerate action for International Women's Month 2025 and beyond, right? It doesn't have to end in 2025. So thank you so much for listening to Tech Empowered, a podcast brought to you by Tech for Dev. Don't forget to subscribe, share, join us next time for more insightful conversations on technology, empowerment, and stories of transformation through technology. I remain your humble host, Yemisi, and I will see you next time. Bye for now.